You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Screen Heroes. My name is Ray. I am one of your three regular hosts, and I'm joined by the other two, believe it or not, Ryan.
Hi.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
It's crazy. It's just so crazy being here together.
It's insane. It's almost like we do this every week.
We've done this almost 150 times.
Almost. All right. So tonight we'll be talking The Punisher Season 2. So far we've reviewed almost every season of the Netflix shows with the exception of the Jessica Jones ones. And, we didn't want to fall behind on this one, so we binged 11.5 hours of content, apparently.
0.56.
All right, you're fired.
At least we had more than a week to do it this time.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you guys were binging some other shows in there, but I had a little bit more time than you did. So.
You did, yeah. We're trying to give ourselves a bit more time and give our viewers a bit more time, you know. Everybody has spoilers the very next day. And we want to avoid that. We want to review it at a normal time. So, we're going to talk about that. Of course, as always, we're talking news first. So, box office numbers. Glass took the weekend again. Aquaman in third. And The Upside in second. So, you know.
Not an exciting weekend, really.
No, it's not. But speaking of Aquaman, it's
crossed
now,
the $1 billion mark, I think, right? And it's up there.
It's officially the highest grossing DC movie, right? Not just DCEU.
DC,
right.
Of all time.
Past Dark Knight Rises and Dark Knight and all the Christian Bale Batman movies and everything.
Dark Knight Rises was number one because, well, it got the sequel effect, right? The Dark Knight was amazing, just like, you know, Spider-Man 3. Spider-Man 2 was amazing. Everyone goes to see the next one, right? So that's how it goes.
But congrats to Aquaman. We all thoroughly enjoyed the movie. We nitpicked it a while ago, so you can listen to that.
They did not get nominated for the visual effects Oscar, which is kind of surprising.
We talked about that a little bit last week too. So, but hey, Christopher Robin did, so you know.
On the Aquaman, a good segue, I guess. Black Panther is going to be released in select AMC theaters in celebration of Black History Month. It is free showing, so you can go reserve your seat online, and that'll get you in. That's
pretty cool. And they're donating, I think, like $1.5 million to some charity.
That's fantastic.
It's a really nice thing they're doing. So
I love that.
I'd like to see some other theaters get on board with that.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Unfortunately, no other theaters really have the reach of AMC, I suppose. So.
Well, even if what they did was release a few movies into theaters, even if, like, Alamo or B&B released one movie in theaters a month where all the proceeds go to a charity, I'd probably go see that movie if I backed the charity, you know?
Yeah, I'd love to go and spend money.
That is fair.
All right, so next up, let's talk Birds of Prey.
Sure. We got some stuff.
Yeah, that...
things happened.
Everybody's calling it a teaser, and Ryan and I are getting so frustrated by it, because it's not a teaser.
Not even close.
It's a screen test. Guys, they just started shooting on January 14th. Like, they're not going to have a teaser by now.
They released the screen test because they knew that on every movie, there's people around the set shooting photos, and there's already photos of the set that released today of Harley.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was. It gave nothing to the plot. You got literally nothing except some
shots of characters.
Some good and some bad costumes, and, you know.
And the costumes, like screen tests, are not the final dress rehearsal, guys. Like, it's... These costumes are going to be changed up. I bet you anything that's a party outfit for Harley and not like her official costume.
Look, I just wanted to invite you guys to my support group because Star Trek Discovery went through this at San Diego Comic-Con when they showed the flight test footage of the ship. And everybody lost their damn minds.
Well, I think the difference here is that I haven't seen a ton of negative on this. Most of the stuff I've seen has been pretty positive.
Yeah, it's just people don't... We've talked about this before where we've started just... We have so much more knowledge these days of the production process than we did 10 or 20, 30 years ago. So the idea of seeing screen tests ahead of a release rather than in the special features is relatively new, right? So
they're just excited and they didn't want crap like what happened with Titans too.
In Shazam.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thing is, people see behind the scenes photos and they immediately get really upset. I want people to calm their expectations. Like, these aren't even their final forms. Like, bring it down a notch.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of, even just when you see, like, Huntress, you see two different costumes there, obviously. Yeah. You see, like, the one with, like, a trench coat where you only see, like, the waist to the knees. And then another one where she's wearing no trench coat and it's got like the bare midriff and stuff like that. So, I mean, you already got two costumes for her. Harley, we see in the whatever, the party costume or whatever you might think it is. And then there's another costume that we saw on the set today that is completely ridiculous looking and not at all like the comic books.
Right.
Black Canary, you get barely anything.
Like her hair. You get her hair and they made her blonde.
There was like a silhouette too where you could kind of see something. And she's holding a microphone, so they're going with the singer background.
Which I'm okay with too.
Yeah, it's, I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Not
everybody needs to be a skilled martial artist that can take down ninjas.
I mean, I think she still could be. Like, I think that it's just, Dinah?
Yeah, my favorite part about Dinah is the origin story where she started out as the performer and learned fighting as she got more into her vigilanteism. Instead of, you know, she learned the fighting and just so happened to develop superpowers. Yeah. So,
well, it's Dinah Drake, right? That's the singer background.
Yeah.
That was not the OG Black Canary.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm not as familiar with Dinah Drake, so I don't know if she was a martial artist ahead of time. I assume that's what, you know.
She may be eventually.
I don't know. I do like the, you know, Black Canary from the comics. That was like as good as Batman, pretty much, in terms of martial artist ability. So, you know, I'm kind of hoping they go some route with that. But
oh, yeah. I hope she has some fighting skills. I just like that, you know, not everybody has to be this elite task force. Like, we can have other angles.
Black Mask doesn't wear his mask, so that's fun.
Oh, no. Yeah,
Victor Zsasz doesn't have any scars anywhere.
Or Zazzles.
He's just a dude that looks like he came from a Eddie Bauer outlet.
That's a great way to put that.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Man, I don't even know what to say about that.
On Gotham, the TV show, Victor Zsasz is probably my favorite character on there.
Oh,
he's
really?
He's so, like, the actor is perfect and he's hilarious. It's hilariously written. So going from that to this was like, what is happening? So
it was so quick.
Yeah.
You know, like, the fact that, like, in order to see anything, you basically
screenshot.
Have to...
Screenshot. Yeah.
And it was all shadowed. Like, they did that for a reason, too, guys.
Calling it a teaser, in itself, is very generous.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the sizzle reel we got of the Justice League movie at San Diego Comic-Con was more of a teaser than this is.
And I bet you anything will get a trailer or a teaser or more behind the scenes at SDCC this year.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that'll be so much closer.
Because they'll be done filming by then. Filming for most movies take, like, 3 months. Maybe they'll be at reshoots by then.
I feel weird about this movie. Like, I love Black Canary. Probably my favorite female comic book character. And Huntress is cool.
Yeah.
I'm not as familiar. But I just feel like the whole thing is going to be... They're going to be second fiddle to Harley. And just like Suicide Squad, you had the two characters that were... everything, and then these other more interesting characters were barely touched, and I'm worried that that's what's going to happen with this too.
Well, a team of three is much easier to balance, at least.
Sure, but then when your villain, you know, is Black Mask, played by Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, it's just going to be.
I'm apprehensive of these. Other DC projects, I'm going to call them Birds of Prey, Joker, because they don't seem to necessarily fall in line with what the other movies are
doing.
But
at least this one's DCEU, technically, right?
Okay, so the DCEU isn't a thing anymore, right?
It's the world of DC.
It's the worlds of DC, and that includes the Joker movie, but the Joker movie's in a different timeline.
Oh my god, I hate this.
But that's my problem, though, right? Like, so it's just very convoluted, and I keep seeing all these articles about how, like, you know... DC learned not to copy Marvel and other studios should listen. And like, at what point did Marvel do any of this convoluted nonsense to begin with? Like, you know, I don't think DC, the closest DC's been to copying Marvel was Aquaman.
Yeah.
Right. Which also is their most successful movie financially. So I don't think these people are really doing their homework. So I'm a little just apprehensive because these seem like the Joker movie and Birds of Prey seem like afterthoughts.
Birds of Prey like has this 30-second screen test and there's clickbait articles like 20 reasons why Birds of Prey will be the best DC movie ever.
Like, and man, 7 why it won't.
Go zip your dick up in your pants. Like, this I is promise ridiculous.
None of those articles will ever be on this website. I can tell you that right now.
Well, then it takes 20 seconds just to say the title of a movie.
Yeah.
Which,
that's well, not an official title.
I actually think, like, she just wrote that on there. I don't think the Emancipation of the Fantabulous Harley Quinn is the rest of it.
I mean, everybody's running it like it's a real title.
I bet you that'll be the title on the unrated Blu-ray that releases, but
that's funny.
The theater like version will be Birds of Prey.
Thank God. If they do that long title.
Well, anyway. Then, you know, they'll have a separate semicolon, I write sins, not tragedies, then, you know.
That's true. Part two. Just keep going.
Part
two, section two, yeah.
So, another movie, though, that is getting a sequel this year.
It's Zombieland Double Tap.
We know the title, and we got a cool poster.
I didn't
we
know
did.
That title. Somehow I missed that. But.
So they did the poster. I saw the poster, but I guess I didn't notice that.
Oh.
They did the 10-year challenge. They recreated the poster, and the only one that looks different is Abigail Breslin.
Yeah, because she looks like an adult now.
Yeah.
I thought, when I first saw it, I thought it was a joke, because I thought it was just the same poster twice, because I assumed it wasn't real. I didn't think it was actually coming from them.
Right.
Right, and it ended up being from Sony. But
so I guess the movie is a real-time sequel? Like,
yes.
That many years later?
Yeah, it's a real-time 10 years later.
I think it'll survive for a decade.
I guess we'll find out. There's supposed to be all new different types of zombie creatures.
All new rules.
We're going to see.
Seems like this is the year of those, like, real-time sequels. I mean, Glass just did the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
true. I mean, this is the 10th anniversary, you know, of Zombieland, and I think that, you know, they've admitted it was very much on purpose, and I think that probably around, you know, 7 or 8 years after the original, like, well, we'll just shoot for 10.
Well, they had that Amazon show. Amazon picked it up and tried to have a show, but everybody wanted the original cast, and there's no way all four of them are going to come back and do...
For a TV show.
Yeah, together. They've got too much going on. A scheduling would be difficult for all of them, you know? None of them, I think, are above doing a TV show, because I think Woody Harrelson... he did the first season
that little sitcom.
I mean, I was talking about True Detective, was slightly more recent.
Right.
And then Abigail Breslin was on Scream Queens, so I don't think, and you know, Emma Stone just did Maniac, so I don't think any of them would have a problem doing a TV show, but getting the four of them back together for scheduling would probably be really difficult.
I don't think
really
it would
difficult.
Fit in Amazon's budget, probably.
No, probably not. And that's the thing, like, to your point, right? Like, we wanted to see these characters. It wasn't the world, wasn't what
recast.
We fell in love with. It was the characters that we fell in love with.
Right.
Well, so I did a playwriting class when I was in college, and it said that any cast that has 3 to 5 characters could easily be adapted to a movie or a play from one medium to the other. And I actually think that because of the nature of Zombieland, they could have a stage play with it and it would just be pretty fantastic.
Similar like Evil Dead the musical.
Exactly. Like, it doesn't have to be Zombieland the musical. It could just be a play, but
that would be fun,
you
though.
Know, small cast, you can make it tight and interesting, and you don't even have to have a lot of extras.
Now, there's a lot of rumors about possible cameos. We do have one confirmed new cast member.
And she was called a cast member. Rosario Dawson was cast in the movie. So I'm going to guess that she is part of serious.
Yeah.
You know, she's not a cameo. We do have
Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd that are
so
cameos.
They're not confirmed, according to what I've been reading.
That's sad.
I don't know how Bill Murray could be in it.
We already answered this for you.
Yeah, he could be a zombie.
No, but I know that. But, like, it's been 10 years. Are they really in the exact same spot?
Maybe. He could travel.
He could travel. He's going
in
after
10
them.
Years, he finally reached Columbus, Ohio.
That's right.
So this is like Jaws the Revenge.
Exactly.
With a zombie.
Yes. That's a bit better.
Yeah.
Come on. All right. Bo Peep got a teaser. Everybody kept saying Bo Peep was back for Toy Story 4, and she is. She got.
Is that
her...
a big deal?
I guess because people were a little bummed that they just wrote her off in 3 without explaining anything, and then now she's back, and bless those fucking cosplayers out there. They figure that it's not a new outfit. It's her actual undergarments, and her cape that she's wearing is her former dress, and it's just really right. clever. Those cosplaying assholes can figure anything out. It's pretty incredible. But yeah, it was very quick. She does this little pole dance on her shepherd's crook, and that's it, you know?
Well, that's kind of a weird way of putting it.
Oh, that's what it is.
No, I'm kind of in the boat of the people who were just kind of curious what happened to her. I mean, yes, we know that it was Andy's sister's toy.
But you weren't, like, offended by the writing choices?
I wasn't offended by it, of course not. But it was more of just, she's one of the few female characters in Toy Story. There aren't that many. And she just disappears after having a kind of a relationship start to bud, right? And then she's gone. So
I just hope that Annie Potts is back playing her. You know, it'd be pretty crappy to recast.
They've always tried to get the original voice actors, you know, when they could. So I'd be surprised if that wasn't the case.
All right, so last bit of news. We're all very disappointed in this, but, you know, the world is ending, so we don't. Funko Pops are getting their own movie, and it's going to include Star Wars, Marvel, and DC characters, apparently.
You're welcome. Just want to throw
this
out.
This is Derek that wrote this. Derek is getting co-writing credit on
this. I pitched
this
idea
back in 2015, when we first...
2016.
Like, no, 2015.
She looked it up.
Episode 4 of our podcast or something like that.
Would have been in 2016.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It was probably at the end, dude.
Okay.
Whatever. You want to be petty and go look at it, then we'll break up later tonight.
Look, anyway, I had this amazing idea of having a live-action Funko thing. And look, now it's happening. And we don't get any money from it. So, you know, that's on you guys for not liking and supporting my idea.
Well, everybody steals our ideas. It's fine. Whatever.
One bit of news that we didn't have on the cheat sheet ahead of time was they gave a release date for the Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
July 10th, 2020, I think it was.
I thought it was 7th.
7th?
Okay. Yeah, it's sometime in July 2020.
That doesn't sound right.
7/10.
It's sometime in July 2020.
I think it's the 5th. I think it's 7/5/2020.
But, you know, people are kind of freaking out online because they think that it's going to not be enough time and that's going to be rushed.
I don't think so. I think if they cast soon, they can start filming soon. Like we said earlier, filming only takes 2 to 3 months for certain films. And, you know, you go, you do a lot of edits, you do a screen test in front of the studio, and then you do reshoots, and then you edit again, and then it's out. Like, that's the process can be streamlined. If they start shooting before the end of May, I think they're on track for a July 2020 release.
It's July 10th. I just double checked for us, so you're right. It is a shorter time than we're used to, but we're also now used to these massive blockbusters that have just insane sets and incredible special effect needs and things of that nature. A Ghostbusters film doesn't necessarily have to call for that.
Yeah.
You know, the scale can be smaller. The needs of those special effects could be more realistic.
We're also not privy to what's going on at Sony. So, I mean, you have to remember that the movie got announced, right? And then the next day, a teaser was out. And then the next week, they gave a release date. So it seems likely that they've probably had the cogs turning, so to speak. So, you know, they may already have casting. We don't know.
They may already have
a script. I don't know, but...
Hey, Iron Man didn't need a script, so...
Well, unless they're casting, you know, the comedic geniuses that they did in the original movie, they probably need a script. If it's a bunch of kids, like they said it was going to...
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I was just making a joke.
Yeah, but I get it.
I think it's doable to do it in that time frame. You know, Zombieland 2 got about the same amount of time, from what I understand. We haven't seen that yet, obviously, so I guess we might find out whether or not that was enough time.
Right.
But
it could still get delayed before then. We don't know.
Yeah, it's always possible.
I mean, I
movies
don't
get delayed that much, like unless it's an X-Men film, obviously.
Yeah, right.
But other movies tend to like once we have posters and release dates, they tend to stick.
Alita got delayed.
You know, Alita did get pushed, absolutely. But that was more of, from what I understand, it to be more of a scheduling problem rather than a movie.
The movies
problem.
They were up against.
You know, like why release with five other big films when you don't have to, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
So, anyway.
All right, so I guess the only bit of news left is to let you know what's coming out this week. No big blockbusters, no major releases. The Extreme Job, Braid, Who Will Write Our History, small movies. So take it an indie flick this weekend if you don't have any other plans. Otherwise, binge some stuff at home.
I have one small thing to add. So Ray has been nice enough to compile a list of all of our playlists.
That's true.
On the show. So the different kind of series that we do. Our DCEU, the Fill Our Holes reviews, that type of stuff. And so I am slowly putting those playlists together for everybody on the website. So if you go to heroespodcasts.com right now and go under the menu where Screen Heroes is, you will see two playlists right now that you can go check out. Our DCEU and Fill Our Holes, and I will add to those as we do more of those, because we...
The two shortest ones.
Well, I wanted to make sure I had the format down before I did one of the really long ones, so we'll have ones for fan castings, we'll have one for reviews, there's a few others, so I'll be rolling those out, but just wanted to thank Ray for her hard work, because she already did all the hard leg work, I just have to put the articles together, so...
It's true. I'm awesome.
But if you liked our DCEU, or you specifically like our retro reviews, those playlists will give you a specific spot to go look, and the order that we did them in case you care.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a very short break. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey everyone, this is Greg from Red Shirts and Runabouts. We're the resident Star Trek podcast as part of the Heroes Podcast Network group. If you love Star Trek and things science fiction, we're definitely the show for you. Join us every Thursday as we talk about Star Trek Discovery, the new Picard show, and other ongoing content and new creations from the Star Trek universe. If you want to find us, search Red Shirts and Runabouts podcast on Apple and Google Play. And if you want to interact with us as a host, you can find us at Red Shirts Pod on Twitter.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that quick little break. Got some coffee, went pee, you know, did your normal thing.
You got a lot done during that break.
Right?
Jeez.
I made a pizza.
They probably did all of that at the same time, drinking coffee while peeing and...
Why?
That's just called efficiency.
Yeah, right. Cut out the middleman.
Fair enough.
Your digestive system. All right, let's talk about The Punisher, guys. So, Punisher Season 2 has been out for 2.5 weeks now, and plenty of time to watch 13 episodes, guys. Why are you slacking? Just
if Derek and Rachel could do it, then...
For real,
come on.
If we could do
no
it.
No excuse.
No word yet if it's going to be canceled. That's
which usually we would have heard, based on the other shows, we would have heard by now, probably. But, I mean, I still think it's going to be canceled. It's just weird that they're pushing it so far.
No, I'm with you. I fully well expected us to be able to talk about that.
The cancellation.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised.
Netflix did a little bit more advertising. The writers said that they have a plan for season 3 if it gets...
Which seems
renewed.
Surprising based on this season, but we'll get into that.
Like, well, they want to bring in Wilson Fisk. And just the one episode in season 2 of Daredevil where Punisher and Fisk were around each other, they had very intense chemistry. And just seeing two hyper-violent people could make for a very brutal yet interesting season. So
yeah, but
it's
doing this Punisher with that Fisk and no Daredevil seems difficult to write and make sense.
I don't think it's difficult to write and make sense. I just think I would miss Daredevil.
Yeah, and I think it's worth mentioning that since we were talking about the Netflix shows being canceled and everything, that Daredevil did just win 2 awards. I think it won like best Netflix series or something like that.
Yeah.
And it won a couple other awards. So it seems unlikely that they would keep Punisher and get rid of Daredevil.
That's why I'm confused, right? Like, if you were going to keep a show, wouldn't it have been Daredevil, your longest running, most successful one?
I agree.
That you already have had basically every character looped in on, so you could bring them in if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Right? If you had to cancel the Punisher for some reason,
Daredevil
you could bring him back on Daredevil, right?
He's connected and met every single other character. And
exactly.
Like, I think we all miss Claire Temple at this point.
Not really.
Really? You don't?
I mean, I love Rosario Dawson, so it's nothing about her. It's more of just she wouldn't have been needed.
Well, in season three, no. I'm just saying, like, there's no reason why they couldn't write her in there. Yeah, they shoehorned Karen Page in every single
thing. Well, that's right. They could bring her back. It's confusing. It's weird at this point that you wouldn't just tell people.
Yeah.
So, on the major aggregate sites, this season didn't do as well as last season, but it's still really high up there on IMDb. It got an 8.6 instead of last year's 9.4. Rotten Tomatoes, it actually failed. It was considered certified rotten at 58%, which is more than half. So I don't know how that's certified rotten.
You have to be below 60.
Got it. And Metacritic is 55. Metacritic is actually the harshest. If you want to go look at their stuff, they scale things down really, really low. So I think that's kind of the highest that the Netflix shows have. But overall, you guys want to talk about how you liked or disliked stuff before we get into nitty-gritty details of episodes? Just what was your overall impression of this season?
No spoilers.
Not at this time. We'll do spoilers in just a second.
Okay. There were parts of it that I really thought were interesting. The acting was good. I liked the characters. I think at this point it's just gone too far in the amount of gory violence that is depicted so often in this season. It just went beyond anything I really want to watch anymore.
Got it.
Just on a personal level. And that's not a quality statement. It's a personal, just I don't really want to watch that anymore.
Right.
I don't have any problem with the violence. Punisher is a violent character. That's basically been his entire backstory. So I would go into a show expecting that kind of violence.
Yeah.
I would say that this season was not as good as the first season, mm-hmm. Which was disappointing. It was a lot more superficial.
Yes.
But John Bernthal chewed the scenery up. I mean, every scene he was in for me was just, I mean, it was Punisher. Mm-hmm. There was a couple other characters that I didn't find as appealing, but overall, I think the acting was good. It was not bad. I mean, it was not the worst of the Netflix series. It was probably in the lower half for me, but there were things about it I really liked. I mean, if you're a Punisher fan, or if you just like the MCU, or the Netflix MCU, the NMCU, I guess, then, you know, you should watch it for sure.
I have a question before we dive into things.
Well, Rachel hasn't said what she thought of it yet.
Okay.
No, you're that's right. Fine. Go you're ahead. Right.
You have it. When was this supposed to take place? I forgot to look it up.
The Netflix shows are kind of all they don't really give you. Are you talking about in relation to the other Netflix shows?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't really. There was nothing saying.
Okay.
So
I kind of had it in my head that it took place about a year after stuff in season one.
Yeah, I mean, Karen. Okay. Well, I don't want to spoil anything. Donnie
needed to completely heal from a bullet to the head. And
Karen got asked about another character.
Yeah.
And she didn't.
Okay.
I don't want to get into spoilers.
No, that's either, good. So. That's good. That's good. I meant to double check before we started.
I think it was about a year in between.
Okay.
All right. So, spoiler warning from here on out. Pause it. Come back to us and let us know exactly what you think if you haven't watched all 13 episodes, because all 13 are on the table from this point on. So let's start. Episode 1. He's Pete Castiglione. He's in a bar in Michigan.
He actually had that same name, I believe, at the beginning of season 1 when he was the construction worker. And I do think it's important to say at this point also that Derek did not watch season 1.
Not all of season 1.
Watch some of it?
I watched the first, like, 3 or 4 episodes.
Okay.
I think that's important because...
Yeah. So, like, he was... I saw him as a construction worker. I saw him meet Micro. I saw the first few episodes, and then I had some business trips, and you guys had to watch it without me, and I never went back.
Right. So. Okay. Well, I just thought that was important because you can't really dive into the second season of most shows and be like, this is awesome, you know?
No, but I really honestly feel like they did a pretty damn good job of letting somebody be comfortable with what was going on with the characters. I never felt lost.
Okay. Well, that's good.
That's good.
You know, so I will say the show had that going for it, which, I don't think I've ever done that with a show jumped in on a later season. at least not on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, so I appreciate that. I really knew what was happening, but it also felt like season one wrapped up most things in a way that was easy to explain. So
yeah, well, yeah, but there's some twists that are in season one that are now ruined for you.
Well, sure.
Watching season two,
but that's okay.
Which is unfortunate. I think it's a little unfortunate, but you know, we do what we have to do for the podcast. I understand it. So
I only have so much to watch.
I know.
Do you think after watching this, you'd want to go back and finish, or do you think you're done with Punisher for a while?
Well,
forever, because it's going to get canceled.
It'll be rebooted at some point. No, that's true. I mean, I'm curious about the rest of season one for two main reasons. One, most people are saying that season one was better than season two, so it makes me want to watch season one.
Also, two people that you care about deeply have said that it's possibly the best of the Netflix shows. So
fair enough. And two,
most people are us.
Yeah. In case you weren't sure.
And two, everybody really has nothing but good things to say about Micro.
Yeah.
And you know, he's not in this season.
Rachel loved Micro, right? So did I. So yeah.
I mean, so I kind of want to see that, because it's pretty rare that people have that much positive stuff to say about a side character on these shows,
right?
Yeah.
You know, with maybe the exception of like Foggy, right?
You know what? There's
too
a
soon.
Lot more...
Don't bring it up.
There's a lot of hate out there for Foggy.
Well, those people are wrong.
I didn't realize
quack,
it.
Quack.
Stop it. Every time I mention Foggy, he could have Mighty Ducks.
Well, you know,
he starred in three movies.
Anyway. I would like to go back and finish season one at some point.
That's fair.
When we don't have to constantly binge stuff. So, yeah. You know, after I'm dead.
Right.
All right. So episode one is pretty much him and Beth getting to know each other at the bar. And our introduction to Rachel / Amy / the people who are after her.
Right.
Right.
So Beth was cool. I really liked the beginning of this season quite a bit. I kind of wish we had had a little more time with him, like, kind of on the road. Maybe seeing him in a couple other towns before he meets Beth would have been interesting, just to kind of see where he is at this particular point.
His nomadic lifestyle.
Yeah.
See, I kind of disagree. I think that I love the stuff with Beth. It was very humanizing for a character that, through the rest of the season, had moments of where he was clearly a superhuman or something
yes.
else.
We'll get
but,
to that.
I think that when you're watching a Punisher show, if there's not punishing happening, I think if they had two episodes of him just driving around,
that wouldn't be just
to
driving
cities
around.
And going to bars, then that would probably not
I'm gonna
be.
I'm
going
to meet you both in the middle. I wanted to see more of his interaction with Beth. Now, if he just visited her in the hospital to say, I'm so sorry this happened to you. And
didn't he visit her in the hospital?
He did not. Pilgrim did. He didn't.
That was a creepy freaking scene, by the way.
He didn't go see her in the hospital. He pretended that, you know, they left. He dropped her off in the ambulance and that was it. And so I would have liked to see more of Beth because what they did with her was so cool. I liked the split up, you know, mixed in a sex scene versus conversation after. You know, they're getting to know each other. They're having a really intimate moment with each other.
It was very believable. Like, you thought these characters, I mean, I don't know who the actress that played Beth was, but, you know, John Bernthal was great, and she was great, and you really felt like this was kind of like this awkward thing that just happened between two people. Because I'm not saying we've all had casual sex, but we've all been in positions where we're talking to somebody that we don't really know that well, and you know, maybe spent some time with that person in a way that you don't normally spend with people. And it's you know, it was very real. It felt very real. And I think that's one thing that I like about the Punisher shows in general, the Punisher show in general, over the other Netflix shows. It feels more real. You know, the Punisher is not a superhero.
Right.
He doesn't have an iron fist. He doesn't, you know.
I think that's why I liked the beginning a lot, because it did humanize him.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm a character person. I'm a dialogue person. And that scene you're talking about, Ray, I feel like was this really well-shot, well-edited scene. And then those techniques, that sophistication is never seen again on the
scene. There were some other scenes, but not a lot, certainly. Not during dialogue. It was all action scenes, I think, that they were shot interestingly.
And there were some good action sequences.
That scene makes me really happy because, one, it gets out exposition. It kind of sums up some parts from season one. in a natural progression, and it wasn't just like, hey, audience, I'm talking to you right now. This is what happened. And, you know, it wasn't a direct...
It wasn't forced exposition. Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
And then also, you and I discussed this a little bit right after I had watched it. We all know that Frank is a good person who does bad things, and there's part of us that wants him to have some sort of happy ending. So they kind of tease us just a little bit. Like, this is what Frank looks like as a happy, relaxed, calm person.
And I liked it.
I did too. I really did.
John Bernthal seems like the kind of guy you would be cool with just sitting down with and chatting with, you know? And I believe that.
My problem with some of that is, yeah, we want to see him have the happy ending because he's a good guy who's been put in terrible situations. But in this season, pretty much every terrible situation he's in is a decision he's made to put himself in.
Absolutely. He rushes into the fire.
It's not like bad things just happening to him.
No.
You know what
I
mean?
He's not Spider-Man. The world doesn't hate him.
Well, but like in the first season, though, like what happens to his family, you know, is something that's really terrible that he didn't, you know, choose to do, that he wasn't actively making happen, right? And now he wants retribution for that. That's season one. That makes sense. I get it. But now it just all felt like we have to come up with reasons for him to fight people.
I get that. Yeah.
And I know that's the character, right? But it felt a little forced early on.
Right.
That's all.
Okay. Sounds good.
I don't know where he's going with that.
Okay, okay. So like the Amy character, right? Rachel, as she is in the beginning of the season, right? He's just so into protecting her. And I mean, until really close to the end of the season, I really could not have cared less about that character.
You might not have been, you know, you couldn't care less, but the whole that character is supposed to be basically his daughter, you know? And like he sees his daughter in this character. And you know, they didn't really do a great job of making that feel across. I never really liked her in the first few episodes, and I didn't. I mean, she got better, I think, but it wasn't great.
She didn't improve. She never got to a point where I empathized with her. It all seemed like you brought this on yourself to a certain degree. Now, I'm not saying all of her friends deserve to die for a small con job. Like, that's excessive. But, you know, you live that life. There are some dangers that come with it. So she just wasn't a likable character.
Especially not in the beginning. She got better.
But she won me over towards the end when she has to actually start using a weapon and she's really freaking out. And
when she kills the guy, the first person, I was like, yes. Okay, yeah.
Because then she finally felt like a human being for a minute. Because everything before that, I never knew if I could believe a word out of her mouth. Everything she said was probably a lie. But
I think that was intended.
I know, but the entire crux of the season is that Punisher is protecting her. And like I was done with him doing that. I was bored with it. It didn't seem like it was worth his time.
In the end, I think this season kind of failed its female characters. I don't know if they quite knew what to do with them because their motives were always off, back and forth. They would flip-flop on certain things, and they would display certain personality traits, but have contrary action. So I don't think there was any female writers to help with that.
I think that you're right for the first half of the season. I think that, like, Madani was... I was not doing well with Madani in the whole first part of the season. She got a lot better towards the end. You know, when she started putting pieces together, I'm like, okay, she's like a Homeland Security person. And this is very obvious.
That was episode 11. Like, why did you?
She was getting better. She was getting better up before that. But I feel like, you know, it definitely, she wasn't up to the season one caliber because I loved her in season one.
Oh, yeah,
and
she was awesome.
You know, even the little girl, whatever her name we're going with for her,
we'll go with Amy.
Okay.
Even though they never explicitly say it and you just see it in the blurbs.
I mean, Amy was also bad at the beginning.
She tells him her real name is Amy.
Really?
Yeah.
Where? When?
I mean, it's in the second half of the season.
Yeah,
she tells.
It was later on.
She tells Frank.
It was in the trailer, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
But it, like, she got better towards the end of the season too. And I mean, that's a different kind of female. I mean, she's female, obviously, but it's a different kind of female character. It's not like an adult female character that's, you know, it's going to be somebody that a kid looks up to or something. This is, you know, Madani. I thought the psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever she was.
She should have stayed on Supergirl.
Is that where I knew her from?
She's Maggie Sawyer.
She was the cop.
Okay. That I was like, she looks really familiar, yeah. And I couldn't remember where it was from.
My big problem with the two of them was, first with Madani.
Two of who?
Madani and Dumont.
Okay.
With Madani, she clearly has some PTSD or other psychological issues from what happened.
Yeah.
And I think that that's totally normal.
Yeah.
But what's not normal is that as a Homeland Security officer, none of her superiors give a shit.
Right. She's allowed to just do whatever she wants.
So Rafi does. He tells her to call her mom. He tells her to go through more counseling.
Why didn't he put her on medical leave?
Exactly.
Exactly. I mean, it's a government program. You can force her to go through mandatory therapy if you think she's unstable before you give her gun and badge back.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty normal stuff, right? So, like, nobody did that, even though they know that she's going and visiting Billy every day?
Twice a day, morning and night.
I mean, if anything, like, that also borderlines on harassing the guy with amnesia who doesn't even know what happened yet. Like, mm-hmm. He still does have rights, even though he's the villain, right? And then with Dumont, so Billy kills a couple of officers, right? There's blood and things like that. She's totally unharmed. She's the only survivor from that. And nobody's checking up on her. She's not a person of interest. There's no suspicion that he may have had help, since there's no forced exit anywhere else in the building. Just felt way too convenient that it took until like episode 11 for Madani to finally be like, wait a minute.
Of all people. And like Mahoney, who we've seen in Daredevil. Oh yeah. Like, they Harley Quinned her up, and yeah, they were not at all subtle with it. Episode 3, I'm watching the way she's looking at him, and I was like,
they're gonna fuck. Yeah, it's Mahoney was great. Like, I loved him in Daredevil, mm-hmm. and I think in this series, I kind of wish they would have, I don't know, I wish they would have dialed back a storyline somewhere to give him more of a conflict, because right, the way they did him, he came across as like dickhead cop that just wants to shut down Punisher, right? And when Punisher's the character we're supposed to be caring about, that just makes him look like a jerk. I wish they would have had more of a conflict, because they started to touch on it towards the end after Frank saves him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was conflicted about bringing him in, but he never was until that point.
Speaking of which, this is kind of a tangent, and we're not going to get to talk about it later. Derek and I both paused and, like, really focused. That scene where he's just hand in the air, gun to him, and Punisher has his back to him, and the camera pans out, it looks gorgeous. It's like a painted landscape of how beautiful that shot is. The blocking is great. The lighting's perfect. Everything is set up. So it reminds me of those old spaghetti westerns.
I'm pretty sure that's what they were going for. Yeah.
I loved it.
It might have been my single favorite shot of the season.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
And it also shows both of those characters who they are at their core. Right? Mahoney was one of my favorite parts of the season, and considering how little he was in it, you know, it kind of tells you something. He was awesome.
Yeah.
Right? I would love to see more of him. Because he really does seem like the guy who's trying to do the right thing, but he's also trying to follow the rules, and he has to come to terms with what, you know, Matt Murdock had to come to terms with, that sometimes that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right? And I liked seeing an actual law enforcement officer have to struggle with that. A guy who we know is a good person, mm-hmm. right? That there's no question, there's no, well, he's going to twist at the end and be, you know, a bad guy. Like, we know he's a good guy, and we see him struggle a bit. That was nice.
Same with Curtis. Watching him actually put a bullet in somebody and then crying later because of it. Like,
oh, yeah.
God, Curtis was so good.
There was a couple of moments where I was like, okay, this acting is not that great. But then there was other moments where I was like, this is a really great... Like, that actor, for some reason for me, was a little wishy-washy.
Yeah,
but the scenes
that.
Where he nailed it, he really nailed it. And that was one of them for sure.
That way, it might be directing then, because there's two different directors each episode.
My favorite part about Curtis was... It looked like he and John Bernthal have been friends for years. Yeah. The two of them...
Their chemistry was very good.
Yeah, they talked together.
But it wasn't season one also. I mean, they were great there, and it carried over.
Mm-hmm.
I am a little sad that we never got, like, any resolution with his personal life by the end of the season.
Yeah,
I guess we're just supposed to assume that... her name was Delilah. She just left. You know, or
Delia,
I'm sorry, just left or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, I felt like it was a little unfair to just totally ignore his personal side of things.
Somebody deserves a win. You can't really give it to Amy because she didn't really earn it. You can't give it to Punisher because that's not who he is.
He doesn't ever get a win.
And you know, Madani got her revenge, so she kind of got a small win, but Curtis really deserves, like, a huge win here, and getting Delia back or some semblance of normalcy would have been nice to see for him. Yeah,
the only win we get is that basically all the bad guys die.
Well, we also get the win of Micro didn't return, which means he's probably living happily exactly. with his family.
Okay.
Which, I mean, that's I wanted to see him come back.
I did too.
I really want to see him come back. But then also, on the other side of me is, like, for the character, I'm like, well, he deserves that to be happy with his family, and I hope he doesn't get wrapped up with Punisher again.
I'm really happy that they didn't shoehorn him back in, because it would have been a shoehorn. He didn't belong anywhere in this season whatsoever, and they left him with his family at such a great point that if he does get back, it does mean that something's wrong with his family. So
at this point, we're all assuming that he's good and happy and everything's good. Mm-hmm. So that's
as wonderful as Micro
was. That's a win, even though it wasn't, like, directly in the season. It was kind of just, you'd have to assume that after you've seen season one. So
that's fair.
So let's talk about the convoluted nonsense that was the Nazis, the
John Pilgrim.
Russian mob.
So John Pilgrim.
Yeah, they, and the religious people that were scared of their son being gay.
So they came out before the season came out, and it made me very excited. They said that the villain this season is going to be an alt-right Christian, Nazi.
They used
essentially.
The word Nazi.
He was, not really.
No,
he was he was a Christian, but there was nothing saying he was gonna racist or
He does have a tattoo.
He has the remains of a tattoo.
Right. So the
German Iron Cross.
So an argument could be made that at one point his character was like that.
Sure.
I will say that's saying all of that ahead of the show forced people into a mindset that I don't think needed to be there.
And also, I think that they were just doing that because they know that it's relevant to the culture we live in right now, and thought that that would get more people to watch.
I also think they tried to spin it a bit more, because I think Pilgrim was the goal from the very beginning. I think they added the Nazi part because so many alt-right Nazi jerk-offs associate the Punisher with themselves. They see themselves in him, that they're just going to cleanse.
They get their guns with like the Punisher skull on it, and stuff.
And they
like
wanted to disconnect from that. John Bernthal is completely against that kind of thinking. And the Punisher himself, listen to the way he talks. He is not, toxic like Nazis are. So I think they wanted to disconnect, so they shoehorned in the Nazi thing way later. Because if they were going to go, Punisher's fighting neo-Nazis.
I'd be in for that.
Right?
Sign me up.
I want to watch that shit.
The thing is, if we never see the scene where Pilgrim takes his shirt off, if you don't see the tattoos, right? What else in the season has anything to do with Nazi white supremacist stuff?
Nothing.
That scene where a bunch of Nazis beat his ass down and then he kills every single one of them. But,
which scene?
In the bar, he goes back to that club and he gets tattled on, and all of his old Nazi friends beat the crap out of him.
Yes.
He ends up killing them.
But, other than that, though, the actual bad guys of the season, right? The parents of the senator, that whole organization, none of them seem to have any racial motivation.
No.
Or anything like
They're
that.
They're homophobic.
I mean, well.
Yeah.
Clearly, they are bad, horrible people. I just want to make sure we're focusing on what they are.
No, they are
and
not
just throwing negative things on top of them.
They're not visibly racist. So,
they're still bad, terrible people with prejudices that are wrong.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting American History X level of gangs or something that he was up against, and it was the leader of a skinhead gang or something like that.
Well, we've kind of skipped ahead a little bit. So, the scene earlier on where they're at the police station with the sheriff and everything.
Okay,
in the small
I have
town,
things to say about
right?
that.
What didn't happen that I kept expecting to happen because of what I heard before the season came out was, at some point I'm going to start seeing Confederate flags or people in KKK outfits out in this group of guys in the forest, and none of that ever happens. They're just bad people with guns.
They're right? all mercenaries.
Yeah, they're just hired guns.
Bounty hunters and stuff.
Yeah. A side note of that scene.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I really loved that scene. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really good for early on. I mean, you knew that the Punisher was a badass, but as in terms of like his military prowess, in terms of like tactical, mm-hmm. you didn't really get to see that until... they start getting shot up and everybody's focused on the front door and Punisher says something like, that's a distraction. They're coming in the back door. And then they do come in the back door and people get screwed over, you know, they get shot and surprised that it's a huge deal. And then the Punisher going outside and like, you know, methodically with one hand because his other hand's all screwed up, you know, just going through and being very Punishery. Like that reminds me of the scene from the first season where they're out in the woods and he's like hunting the special forces team.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it was, I don't know if you saw that one, but that was a great scene too. But yeah, I loved that. That was for me, like high level Punisher, you know, in terms of the best stuff.
No, this police station stuff was some of the better stuff.
Also, the way he was dealing with the kid that got shot.
Really good battle.
When he's like, do you want to die here, son? And he's like, he's very caring about this guy.
Because it's showing it again. Like, he doesn't want any good people to die.
Right.
Right. He doesn't want them in his way either. But he doesn't want anyone to die. Right. But you're right. It's, you know, having basically taking over that situation. And by the end of it, having the sheriff just let him walk around with a gun and all that type of stuff. Like, it really
won him over.
Right. Exactly. And it showed the kind of power that he brings. And I mean, there's a couple of like just cool moments. Like the first shot he really takes, you know, is, you know, from the roof is to not blow up the Molotov cocktail.
Right. That was
like,
awesome.
That was great.
It's a cool cinematic moment. And going through the forest. Like it was pretty neat. You know, I was kind of disappointed when Madani showed up in the helicopter.
Yeah.
But that was one of the better early moments.
Yeah, I agree. That scene really stood out to me. It might even be part of my favorite part of the whole season. I really liked that scene. I don't know why. Something about it just really read Punisher to me, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, I think, Ray, you said it for me. It was kind of like a bottle episode.
It was.
Right? It's all in one location. It's a set group of people. It's a very specific story.
It was
story.
Very character establishing. Mm-hmm. You got to see the really good side of Punisher. Because before that, you got to see the interactions with the girl, but it really wasn't that good. And you got to see with Beth, but that was when he was not really being Punisher, you know? So this was like military Punisher mode.
Right.
He's telling this kid what he needs to do, you know, if he wants to live.
It's also very reminiscent of apocalypse films. Anytime I've seen, you know, zombie films, they all hold themselves up and prepare for the horde. And it was good. There was great dialogue. Everybody got a chance to speak, you know, nobody was just a background actor for a while. So that was one of my more favorite episodes, I guess.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
To point out something, when I brought up the violence thing earlier, like this scene, you know, doesn't go past that line for me, right? Like, yeah, it's gun stuff. It's showing his tactical military training. It's showing his mind. It's showing his strength. You know, yes, lots of people are dying and there's blood and it's intense and it is violent, but it doesn't go to that level that we'll get to later that I just felt like it was over the top. This episode didn't do that.
I think that's a good segue. So I want to transfer over here to the scene in the Russian gym.
Sure.
Because when it starts, I love it. We've all like handled weights before. We know how heavy they can be. We know if you take one of somebody's head, it would knock them out or kill them or something like that. And
traumatic brain injury for sure.
Yeah. It starts very creatively. They make use of the entire environment and it's really well choreographed. It crossed that line of too much where he is hitting the guy, the final part, in the face over and over again with this free weight, and nobody's going down. Like, he's been hurt multiple times at this point and should be on the ground himself. Like, we've talked about it. He's not a superhuman. He doesn't have powers. He has tactical skills and a can-do attitude, and that's about it. And like, I know that's very Boy Scouty, but no, it's true. I mean, he never gives up. And in this case, like, he hit him, I counted, 9 times to the face with this. The guy's still alive, and I have no idea how. Like, 2 hits to the face would have killed most people. Like,
it was
a little too graphic. Like, I got the point. I get it.
And it's all it's in your
5.
It's in your face, you know. They show the injury and things like that, and it that was kind of when it all clicked to me that a few characters are not human beings in this season. Frank, Pilgrim, Billy,
as much as this season.
Okay.
Yeah, but, last season was like that too.
But, you know, like I said, like you guys mentioned, like this is what I have to go off of. And the three of them take more hits and injuries and shots and cuts and whatever, that it's those scenes that I used to appreciate on maybe Daredevil or something like that started to lose me because they ceased to be realistic anymore. And unlike your normal superhero movies, they're, because this is what it is, it was so gory and bloody that I just like was just kind of not interested.
So I'm going to go on the opposite end of both of you and say that the Punisher is not a superhero, and you're absolutely right about that. But something about the Punisher in the comic books and even in season one that they established is that even if he's dying and he's like taking his last breath, he's going to get the job done because right. that's what he does.
It's the can-do attitude.
Sure. I mean, that's kind of a chipper way of putting something that's more like he's bleeding out, but he's going to put a knife through this person's eyeball no matter what. Even if his body is not yeah. physically able to. I get that it's unbelievable. He is, might as well be superhuman in terms of the abuse he can take. But so is Daredevil. You said you could deal mm-hmm. with Daredevil better. But Daredevil, in the first season when he's fighting Nobu, he gets completely eviscerated.
I said better.
That fight with Nobu made me cringe more than... That's maybe fair. Not everything in The Punisher. But, I mean, more than a lot.
Sure, but... And I'm not saying that Daredevil is not guilty of this from time to time, but Matt Murdock always at least appeared to be hurt when these things were over.
Punisher didn't appear to be hurt to you?
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't use his right hand for the first, or second, third, fourth, and fifth episode.
Yeah, but how much time does this season cover? A few weeks? That doesn't heal Maybe. A broken hand.
No, it doesn't.
Okay? Like, at some point, he's like, nah, it's fine. Right?
Well, I mean, the thing about the Punisher, and even they did this season one, too, you can back me up on this, is that mm-hmm. he gets fucked up all the time, and he never heals. Like, he never is fully healed.
I know. So here's the thing. It's not just Frank, though. It's the three main guys.
Right.
It's
which Frank, are all Pilgrim, ex-military,
and,
like...
And Billy. But the thing is, though, is that when it's everybody of significance... Then well, it like, just feels...
The thing is, Amy shoots Pilgrim in the leg with a shotgun. He is pulling out...
Yeah, and that was brutal.
But
was
he doesn't have a limb after. It was after. Awesome. He doesn't have a limb after. Like, not even a
He's
limb.
He's just
like,
really... That was... he has a little limb for, like, right after that. But as soon as he starts fighting Frank again, he's forgotten about that pain and he's into it.
So, like, the thing is, like, you want to use the... Well, you know, he just... When they're really focused, adrenaline. They can just push through everything. It's like...
I feel like there's got to be
Are you making fun of me with that?
Medium.
Like, come on. I know that's what I said. But that's what he is in the comic books. Like, that's...
But you're not the only one to say that type of thing. So I'm not directing it at you only.
I was the one that literally just said that.
You're locking eyes with him.
Yeah.
Look, it gets to be too much for me to take seriously.
I want there to be a happy medium, too. Like, I want 5 hits to the face instead of 9, and you pan away.
Well, I thought that was important. But, he loses control of his temper multiple times in this season, and that was one of them, you know?
Like
Another one was when he killed the three girls.
The pedophile was a much, much better example of that. He goes to do the pictures, and he punches him in the face multiple times, and he was gonna shoot him. And I loved
Amy's
reaction.
See, I thought that was a worse example because
really?
He...
Man,
in
you
the
don't
first
want to
season,
hit pedophiles in the face.
Sure, but in the first season, he straight up kills a pedophile. He goes in to buy the gun.
Well,
what was that there in season
Amy
two?
Does,
I can't remember.
Amy does stop him.
Sure, but
and then
like...
they burn the place down.
He literally turns around and locks the door behind him and it's implied that he kills this other pedophile. So I mean, like...
So here's more of my point then. Towards the end, when it's the final showdown between Pilgrim and Frank. Okay,
we're at the trailer.
Okay, and like they're hitting each other.
They're already both massively wounded.
Like, I mean, Pilgrim's punching Frank in the face multiple times with a giant thick chain fist. Frank smacking him in the face with an air tank. Like, these things shouldn't hurt a person. Shouldn't make a person dizzy. They should kill a person.
Right.
Right? This isn't willpower anymore.
And
this
they're
is
not
biology.
At 100% by any means.
Right? I mean, Pilgrim should have bled out days ago. This isn't, you know, at some point there's just no more blood. Your body still has to produce it, right? Like, you just run
he
out at some point.
He had a lot of orange juice.
You know? So, like,
true.
It just...
That's medically not a thing.
It just got to be too much. It got to be... Like, they would go through and, just do a spray of bullets and 15 people are just dead instantly from a single bullet somewhere. But these guys could take 3, 4, 5 shots and then just go and have a rumble.
Billy later. Died because of 2 bullets.
At the very, very end of the season, after the doctor stole his money and ran away, so he didn't have, you know, any way to patch any of it up, right? But he might have survived if he had gotten medical care and he had been taken to a hospital. You know, he had been shot multiple times over the course of the season.
So let's talk about the insanity that is Billy Russo and his beautiful fucking face.
I'm just going to leave this off with, if you've seen, I know you haven't seen the end of season one, but what happened at the end of season one?
There's a ton of flashbacks.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like even in the actual show, it was one time that made me really go, holy fucking violence, man. And I don't do that very often, but when he's dragging his face across that mirror, I'm like, anyway, yeah. They were like, oh, you're so ugly now, ugly face boy. But he has like a tiny stitch right here and like a little one up here. It's like, come on. Like, we're really supposed to buy that this guy goes from male model to like hideous beast because he has like a couple of scars here. If anything, women will want him more now because he looks more badass.
I'm going to say something that I never thought I'd ever say in my entire life.
You want to have sex with Jigsaw more once he's had his
scars? No. Okay. Ben Barnes is a very attractive man and I've thought this for years. But Punisher Warzone did Jigsaw's face better. Like, I never thought Punisher Warzone would be good compared to this, but man, Dominic West looked like he was a patchwork doll, and Ben Barnes said he's got a couple rough scars.
Ouchies!
Well, on top of it, some band-aids.
You don't get to see his face for a while. He's got the mask.
Right? Why are you wearing this mask, dude? Like, your face is barely hurt.
So in my head, like, they're building this up. This better look fucking good. And then I'm like, oh, I mean, I'm sure it hurt, but you know.
And also, like, I normally hate amnesia storylines. Like, I think it's kind of lazy writing most of the time. But I think in this case, both of the villains were kind of a mirror of Frank in a way. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And I think that the amnesia for Billy was pretty, I mean, it was kind of necessary. If they had, I don't know, they played it the right way, I think.
I had zero problems with the amnesia. I thought it worked well. I like the idea of this guy thinking that they're all best friends and buddies and brothers, and he doesn't know this stuff. Now, it started to lose me a little bit later when like people are telling him what he did, and he just refuses to believe it, but he also knows he doesn't remember what happened.
Right.
So like the fact that he's not even willing to pause for a moment and think about it was a little frustrating.
My problem is, like, throughout this whole thing, they never let this patient get access to the internet. He could have read his Wikipedia or the news, like Amy reads about the Punisher, and in 5 minutes be more informed than what people told him. Like, that's just completely bonkers to me. He gets a chess set and a diary, but he can't have the internet for 5 minutes. Like,
I mean, maybe just because of what he was, you know, being charged with. Oh, yeah, once he leaves, yeah, like, once he's at Jamont's apartment and everything, yeah, that's a fair point.
He was also was he weirdly thin this season? Was that because his character was supposed to be malnourished?
I don't know. Thought so.
Like, there's no way that a guy that looks like this is going to be able to stand up to John Bernthal, even if he's injured.
But
like,
that was part of the problem, too.
Right. Like, the Pilgrim, I could believe the Pilgrim.
One-on-one. That's true. Pilgrim was ripped.
Yeah, I actually, like, that actor looked so familiar to me, and I was trying to figure out who he was. And he was in The Dark Knight Rises or something, but I couldn't put my finger on what character he played in that, so I still don't really know, but I thought he was wonderful. We never really discussed him as an actor, but I thought he was great.
I want to get to that. But
getting low on
that. I know,
no,
but
we're
it's
good.
Fine.
We're going
to
talk.
Before we move on from, like, the Billy thing in the beginning of the show, like, to kind of talk more about how, like, in this season, the three main guys kind of seem to be somewhat superhuman. You also have the end of last season is Billy getting his face completely bashed in, should probably kill a
multiple
person.
Multiple times, yeah.
But Donnie getting shot in the head should probably kill a person. And Curtis getting shot in the face. It's like you got three people who really, on any given day, one of them should have been dead.
Well, and the Punisher,
too.
I mean, he was destroyed.
Yeah.
Sure, but
so
we know he's not going to die in season
died.
One. Right, but like somebody needed to die.
Here's
and
the thing.
I know that would suck, but
it honestly, with seeing both seasons, seeing how they play out, it should have been Madonna.
Yeah, absolutely.
As much as I loved her in the first season, that would have given her a very tragic ending. It also wouldn't have made her character so painful to watch this season. then there's no like crazy revenge story going on in the background. Russo, which I wanted Jigsaw to be the villain in season three.
We both talked about that. Give him a season to stew and kind of figure his shit out and give us another villain before you bring him back.
Do the Wilson Fisk thing.
Sure. Chill on anything would have been fine. Yeah. They should have saved him for season three.
Well, I think they could have spent more time on the Pilgrim side of things because I found myself most of the season not really understanding why I should care much about it.
Yeah, right? He has a sick wife and like...
And like he's reformed in some way, but we're not really entirely sure.
Do we know his history? Do we ever find out like his history?
No, we know he was a bad guy in that
gang. Yeah, that's all we really know.
And then something changed.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you know, at the end of the season, I'm making some guesses and I'm putting together maybe those people made his wife sick as a way to force them into a situation or
knowing something. that he had these skills.
Right? Like, I don't know.
I'm sitting here waiting for a connection for something, and I'm waiting. In episode 7, Curtis is like, so what does Billy have to do with this Pilgrim guy? And Punisher's like, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, for fuck's sake, if they don't have a connection, like, what the hell?
Like that's not good.
Right. Jigsaw should not have been in this season. Madani should have died at the end of last season. And this one should have been alt-right Nazis with more Pilgrim background. We should have gotten the whole thing. We should have gotten why his wife is sick, why he had to change his complete identity from Robert to John.
They could have made him way more sympathetic with the kids, too. They didn't really play up the kids at all.
Well, that's the problem, because literally the very, very end of this season, the very end, I actually really liked quite a bit. I thought it was super interesting the way some of that was tied up at the end. But it was, you know, the last episode of a 13-episode season.
I love that kids pull on Frank's heartstrings. Give us more of that throughout the whole thing. Make him sidestep and second-guess his activities because children are involved to some tangential degree.
Well, it makes these people human, right? Mm-hmm. It makes Pilgrim human, right? That he is willing to do whatever it takes to protect his kids too. That's something that at least as other human beings we can relate to. We can understand conceptually what that means, what our parents may have wanted, would have done for us or something like that. So
see, that's where when you were talking about how these characters are all superhuman, that's where they have their individual things that they draw that willpower from. And now granted, we didn't find out Pilgrim's until like the very end.
That's the problem.
But now then you learn that he's fighting to keep his kids alive.
Right.
Which is a huge
That's a big deal.
Sure.
Right? But it's hard when you're watching, 12 hours of content, it's hard to then retroactively go back and go, well, 7 hours ago then, that makes a lot more sense.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I assume there had to be something going on, but I can understand it to an extent, but I feel like it kind of wrapped it up in a way that kind of explained it. But
it's sort of, because then the thing is, like, well, if his wife hadn't died, then is he fighting for her still, or is it still just his employment? Like, I feel like his motives should have shifted when she died. And there's a scene where you get the idea that they did, right? But again, it's not really explained. We're left to kind of guess that was the whole point of him trashing the room, was his now understanding that his kids are trapped, right? But he was still doing all this bad stuff before that. So is he just a mercenary up until that point, and now it's personal? But he was still doing incredible things before that point, right? So that was kind of where things fell apart. It was nothing against the actor. I actually thought he was fantastic. I thought he was a great villain, great antagonist. Having that, like, super calm demeanor, but obviously clearly tactful and...
Yeah, he, like, never yelled. He never, it was... No matter what happened, he was always completely level-headed. That made him the most creepy, most scary character. Because, like...
People have emotions. They yell. Like, at one point, Punisher was barking at somebody. Like,
no, that's a Punisher thing. Like,
yeah,
it's John Bernthal Punisher thing.
A John Bernthal thing. He did that in Walking Dead.
Yeah, like, but it suits the character.
It's his Batman voice.
It suits the character of the Punisher. He just can't contain the rage, and that's how it comes out.
He did the Where Is Me... Christian Bale growl.
He did, like, a couple times. It was funny.
but I buy it a lot more from the Punisher than I do from Christian Bale.
That's fair. But I thought the Pilgrim was a much better villain to watch, a more interesting villain to watch than Billy, because Billy was so unhinged.
And the Schultzes. It's really easy for me to hate rich white people at this point, you know.
Well, they were just awful.
Right. That's my point, though. Like, go balls to the wall with these guys. Put all your eggs in this basket that's clearly better fleshed out, more interesting, something new we haven't seen from the Punisher.
Did it bother you guys at all? This is not as tangential to what we were just talking about, but the scene where the Punisher and the girl go into where the two rich white people are
at the end.
Yeah, and he shoots her in the head, and
I was about to bring this up
when he says, "You're this bitch made her decision." You know, like that seemed super out of character for the Punisher to like call her a bitch. You know, in this scene, I don't know. That really bothered me. She was sure, but like he hasn't done that.
I didn't want to see Amy get stabbed. I really didn't. Like, they kept hinting that that was what her next play was, and maybe it would have been cool to see her grab the knife. And then Punisher's hands here, and then he shoots her or something like that.
I want to see him shoot a shot through her hand and into her head.
I was too distracted when the husband calls Frank a murdering bastard.
Yeah,
he's so angry, and like,
but that's supposed to show you how separated he is from what's actually happening.
Because he's never actually murdered. Yeah. He's only paid for other people to murder.
Here's the thing though, that comes off. Like the dumbest line in the entire show.
I don't know how Corbin Burnson still gets jobs. Like, he is not the best actor. Like, go back to doing major league films.
Right.
Like, here's the thing. He may not be murdering people, but he is blackmailing a guy with his own children.
Yeah.
Okay? Right? Like, so I'm supposed to sit there, this guy, and he's like, "You murdering bastard." I'm not supposed to laugh. I literally laughed out loud.
I think that's the reaction they wanted. Like, I don't think that was an accident. We know that this guy's an idiot.
And we're not supposed to have any sympathy for these people. Like, eventually you're supposed to have sympathy for Pilgrim, not towards the beginning. And
I don't need to have sympathy for them, but give me then the cocky bad guy trope where, you know, he's, "I'm not surprised you made it here," kind of bullshit. The James Bond thing or something. Don't give me
a cat on the lap?
Sure. But don't give me a clearly hairless moronic line. Hair. I don't care.
Okay.
Mr. Bigglesworth is fine.
Well, Mr. Bigglesworth has hair in the beginning and loses it later, so.
It's interesting. The line just came off so disconnected from everything that I couldn't buy it for
that whole scene. Yeah, had some weird writing for me.
I love when people...
When the Punisher makes him kill himself?
Forced suicide in movies is like the biggest power play.
Yeah.
It's big dick energy.
And the Punisher does that.
It was just interesting and new. I like when things are new, you know? I was loving the gym scene up until the very last point.
I like the gym scene all the way through it.
That's fine.
I don't care about the violence.
The gym scene, sorry.
But so what was the conversation then in the junkyard between Pilgrim and Frank? You know, Pilgrim says, "Don't, you know, make sure you don't hurt my kids," or whatever. And Frank's like, "Oh, you've got kids? I love
Martha.
Oh, we love kids. You know, we should go kill them. Do we just become best friends?" And then that's the end of the show. Like that was a little weird for me.
It was very reminiscent of the BVS scene that everybody makes fun of.
That's all it was, though. He said the one word that would have kept him from killing.
If he hadn't said anything about his kids, he would have gotten his head blown off.
Right.
I would have made a similar request, though. Like, don't go after my family.
Now, I like that the two of them team up at the end, because it shows who Pilgrim really is, who we didn't understand for 90% of this season. Right? He's a guy who had a bad life, really tried to be a better person, and was blackmailed into a situation where his kids could die. Right? I can feel bad for somebody like that. I'm not going to forgive them of everything that they've done, but I can feel bad for that person.
I completely suspected that it was the Schultz's fault that Rebecca was sick.
That's what I kind of came up with.
I mean, it's definitely implied, but yeah.
They never flat out said it.
But that's also part of the problem, though, right? Is, you know,
I wish they had.
Don't lay these seeds if we're never going to find out the answer to that, right? I want to know what that was all about.
See, I think leading into this, that I think they changed the ending of the season.
Really?
Based on the way that things wrapped up made it seem like they were trying to pretty much clean up every loose end. There's like maybe one still out there, the psychologist or whatever she is, still alive, still in love with Billy, clearly. But God, that was like the only loose end really at the end of the season. It seemed like they were trying to wrap everything up and it seemed very rushed right at the very end. So I'm thinking that they had like gotten word of all these shows getting canceled, or that they were likely to get canceled, and so they rushed in and made some changes at the very last minute. Because, I mean, I don't know. There were some decisions made. Not that they were bad, but they definitely seemed like they were rushed decisions.
I think that's fair. I didn't notice it at the time, but that makes sense. I liked how it was wrapped up, though. I liked...
So did you hate... I'm sorry to interrupt, but did you like the way Billy was ended?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of people that had a problem with the Punisher not listening to his monologue, but I personally thought that it ended the perfect way.
It makes the most sense. Everybody, Madani, Curtis, and Punisher, and Frank, said multiple times throughout the season, you should have just finished it. You should have just taken the shot. You shouldn't have let him live. You should have made sure he was put down.
Yeah.
And he did. He didn't let him finish. He didn't, you know, have this great ironic monologue. No. He just finished it. He
didn't earn that. Yeah. In my opinion.
I agree. Billy was insufferable this season. Yeah. The stupid gang he had. The setting Frank up with the three dead women already.
Oh, I really need to talk about that scene, actually.
Do it.
So
while we're here.
Yeah, while we're on it. Billy killed those women, so Frank didn't actually do it, and he still gets to be the good guy, right? However, Frank did shoot blindly through those windows, so if Billy hadn't done it, Frank would have done it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
so
the point.
But it's a technicality. He stays a good guy on a technicality.
Yeah.
Well, those three women probably wouldn't have necessarily been up there, like, hanging out where he could shoot them. They probably would have been on the floor or something.
Maybe, but the whole point is, you know, he's off the hook because Billy set him up and Billy really killed him, when really the actions that he took very well could have resulted in their death. And the fact that it didn't is just a straight-up technicality.
See, I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem with, like, the next episode after that happens and he's like, I'm clear, I didn't kill him. He's blindly firing through walls at Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't learn anything about it.
In a hotel that clearly has people
in it. Yeah, and they're running out, but none of them got hit. Like, there was some... The showrunner was different this season, and it definitely showed. And I think that some of the... There were some major problems like that that I had. I think Frank's character development was not nearly as... It was very muddy. Especially with the last scene of the whole season.
Oh, yes. Because I think this, what we're talking about right now, ties into that last season, though, right? Because he busts into this barn where there's clearly two gangs doing something, and he just mows them all down.
Nazis? Like,
and they were like kids.
They're young guys. Like, you're telling me every single one of them deserved to die?
They're early 20s. Like, maybe they're drug dealers. They have turf wars and shit. Like, why couldn't they have been Nazis?
Like,
there's no way he knows that every one of those 30 people deserved to die. There's no way he knows that.
So that scene was 100% comic book. Like, we're just jerking you off here.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it was.
Clean suit, him rejecting the CIA job, yeah.
I was talking to Dokrev earlier about this, who's usually in our chat, well, hasn't been for a little while, but anyway, he said, well, would you have been happier if it was a bunch of, like, old guys? I was like, yeah, if it was, like, a bunch of old, like, mafia guys, I would have been way better. It's like his introduction in season 2 of Daredevil, when it's, like, a meeting of the mafia,
right,
when
and
he murders
like
the entire group. Yeah, I'm like, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that, but when it's a bunch of kids, and you literally just spent the season talking about how this one reminded you of your daughter, and, like, you loved her. The last scene with the two of them was really good, by the way.
At the bus station?
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Also the scene he had with Karen in the hospital. I know it seemed like you didn't necessarily love Karen in this, but scene was great.
I love Karen and Frank's chemistry. I love when they talk. I actually think Karen is better suited for this show than she is Daredevil at this point. So I want her in this. I was making a joke because she's been in a few seasons, and they seem to just put her in for fun. Side note, I will also exchange my shoes for high up favors with law enforcement officers. And
the morgue.
That was weird.
I don't even care. You can have my shoes.
So I think that's kind of the end, just kind of shows that he hasn't learned a damn thing. And the existential crisis that he supposedly went through a couple episodes ago was total bullshit. You know?
The last scene basically killed that. Yeah, I mean, it basically ruined that. If they did, by some miracle, get another season, then I would pretty much guess they're just going to forget that they did that scene.
Or they'll have to do something to explain why it's okay that he killed all those people, right? They're going to have to do the work now. Because we just saw him murder a bunch of young people in a barn who were not near other people. They're not near civilians. Clearly, they all had guns. Right? These are not the best people in the world, but, you know, I'm not okay. The whole point was that not everybody deserves to die.
Right.
Right?
They were 5 seconds away from murdering each other anyway, so you might as well just let them do it.
I mean, that's an argument that can be made, too, I suppose.
Out of context, as a Punisher fan, that was a really cool-looking scene.
The way it was shot,
him, like, sweeping the thing back and pulling the two guns out, like, two huge guns that most people use with two
hands. So you know he got a new one and invested in it.
Like, as a Punisher fan, that's clearly, like, they were literally just masturbating their fans for them. That's all it was. It should have
been a completely different group instead of two rival gangs. It just didn't make sense
with this. Yeah, like, it could have been better.
I would have preferred, like, a hate crime. We could have seen him mow down people for, or that's something that just happened the other day to a star from Empire. So, you know, that's real life violence. Sure, there are gang and turf wars all the time, but the youngest, those were probably 17-year-olds, oldest maybe like 25, and in between, like, it was
It was weird.
They still could have been scared straight.
Well, and the thing is, just because those guys had guns doesn't mean they've ever used them, doesn't mean they've ever killed anybody, doesn't mean that they deserve to die. We don't know what they did, right? And, you know, to your point, that is a really cool, well-shot scene. It's technically well. I don't think there's really any technical problems with this season. I don't recall anything that happened where I was like, wow, that looked really bad.
Yeah.
I don't recall anything like that.
The action scenes, most of the action scenes were very interesting to watch. The despite makeup work. In the first season had that too, where like the realistic injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't feel good to look at. Like, they're make intense, you uncomfortable.
The bruising, like, all over their face at the end.
Consistent.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? Especially for Frank, who has a lot of little cuts. I mean, good size cuts, right? Yeah. But he's got a lot of them little all
for
over him, place.
Good size for normal people.
But they're visible. They're all over his face. Now, every once in a while, he'll get, like, shanked in the leg or something, and they don't really
have... Punisher is the only one you could say that about, where it's like, it's not a big deal.
Well, like, they just put on a new pair of pants and you don't see the wound anymore, but on his face they have to make sure, so you know the makeup artist really did their work in
it's not easy
and no. maintained
but it. they did a great job of that in Daredevil season 2 with him, and they did a great job in that in his first season and now this season also. So I definitely think that their makeup work is probably the best in the Netflix MCU for sure. Like, they did a great job.
Yeah. Any of the technical work on the show I thought was very good, just across the board.
I think the showrunner this season was a problem.
I agree. Yeah. It would have been a much tighter, more interesting season with the Pilgrim storyline. Removing Jigsaw and Dumont and Madani would have saved a lot of issues that popped up. It was competing storylines, and you couldn't care for both, so you just kind of half-cared for both instead.
I mean, I would have been okay if they had had like small little bits of Billy, like small sessions throughout the season where he never leaves the hospital, right? He still never really learns who he is, but it's his therapy.
Just set him up for season 3.
Exactly.
That would have been fun.
Right. The one episode don't forget, where Wilson Fisk is in season 2.
Something like that, right? And you could have like, you know, maybe every third episode or something, there's another like counseling session and you learn a little bit more about where he is mentally.
Yeah.
Right? I think that would have been interesting. But Pilgrim, yeah, I would have loved a more fleshed out part of that story.
He could have easily been on the tier with Kilgrave and
Fisk
if they had given him more. That actor was clearly capable.
Clearly, yeah.
You know, if they had given him more to work with, he could have been a very like top tier villain for the MCU.
I'm always really impressed when people change their entire voice. Like, they don't just slap on an accent, but they change it. I watched an interview with Josh Stewart earlier just to see if that was his real voice. Definitely not.
It was really cool. Super subdued, and no matter what was going on around him, and it's probably a very difficult thing to act, you know. If I'm getting worked up in something, my voice changes clearly, and to control that seems
you're
like it'd be
talking
difficult.
About a podcast, you know, here.
Right, exactly.
You're not under incredible physical duress.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I thought he was phenomenal from an acting perspective.
Better than Billy, and Billy was great in the first. That's the worst part, is like,
he didn't have
you believed
much
he was Frank's friend, and like, you believed that all this stuff was going on. And
I was really upset with the whole veteran storyline. We all have friends that are vets.
The first season's veteran storyline was so good, and it was so respectful and relevant, and went into the social issues. But this one, it was all very superficial.
I didn't want to see these guys who were down on their luck already turn into these asshole proud boys who murdered people and stole stuff. Like,
yeah, they just flipped a switch and could instantly kill civilians and be okay with it.
We already have a problem with ignoring our veterans' issues when they come back and, you know, they don't have housing or livelihoods or...
medical care.
Yeah, so, like, why? Why make it worse here? And it just didn't portray them in a way that I thought was interesting flattering. Or flattering.
I think the problem was Billy, though, because Billy, at no point did he seem level-headed enough to even be manipulative. He just seemed crazy, like a raving nut the entire time.
That's true.
So, like, maybe you could have somebody who was just so charismatic, so intelligent.
Which he was in season one.
Yeah.
And he could manipulate these guys into thinking this is the right thing to do, right? That's one thing. That's not what this was. No. This was a nut who just happened to be able to get his hands on a bunch of weaponry somehow.
Yeah.
With I mean, I'm not entirely sure how, since he wouldn't have any money at this point.
They didn't really explain how he got all the crazy... machine guns.
They got high quality equipment, you know, throughout this season.
It shows how they got the money. Maybe they just used some of the money for the weapons. I don't know.
Mean, maybe, but they had to have weapons to get the money the first time. So, I don't know.
We're in a terrible loop.
I know. So, anyway. Anything else, guys?
I think we covered, like, everything.
Yeah. I think we covered most of the stuff I wanted to talk about.
We'll definitely be talking about it again in the next couple of weeks, just because we...
whether it gets canceled.
Exactly. Or... we'll give you an update. Punisher Gate 2019, I guess.
How many gates do we need?
All the gates.
All the gates. I do want to throw out... I joked about this in chat, but that computer that Amy uses at the store...
Oh my god.
Like, if you're gonna...
Derek nitpicking.
Look. If you're gonna do that scene, and you're gonna have her questions be technical questions about a computer... you have to at least make it seem realistic. And spending a grand in 2018, 2019 on a 1.8 gigahertz processor.
No.
Just do your homework a little bit if that's what you're going to do.
Well, it's a good thing she didn't buy it.
I know.
Clearly the person she was talking to was not that well-versed in computers because it kept having to go ask somebody about it. So I think that it worked in the scene, but
Derek
it was weird.
Too. He was like, that would have been written on the label.
Yeah. Why not just, like, have her be looking at a computer? I mean, it worked in Winter Soldier.
It's true.
Right? They just went to a store and used a computer for a few minutes. Like, all she's doing is Googling. So
I did read a review where they said that they thought that the little girl was kind of sexualized too much. Did you guys think that at all?
So they never...
Did you mean Amy?
Yeah.
How old was she supposed to be?
Like, I was guessing like 15 or 16.
Oh, no. I figured she was 18, 19.
The sheriff made a joke at the police station that even if he averaged out all the ages of her personas, she'd still be 18.
Oh, okay.
or 19. It was one of the
Fair
two.
Enough.
Right? So in my head, she's probably in her young 20s.
Yeah.
Maybe she's 20, 21 maybe.
The only time she was sexualized was the pervert scene, and that was very much on purpose.
Yeah.
But, like, every other time she's wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
That's true.
Like, if you're going to sexualize a woman like that just because she has a female body, then, you know, that's 90% of the women out there in America wearing jeans and t-shirts. So
I read that review before I watched the season, mm-hmm. and I was, like, waiting for it the whole time. I'm like, when is this thing? Yeah, and it never happened. So I was like, all right, whatever. I don't know what this person saw.
But... and, like, yeah, Frank keeps calling her kid, and everyone's looking for the kid or the girl or whatever. But I don't think she's supposed to be a minor. I really don't after watching this season. She might say that she's 16 early on in the show, and that's what people have gravitated towards. But other than that sentence, none of that seems to be accurate.
There's no way to know what they had.
I think it was left ambiguous on purpose.
The actress is definitely older than 16.
Yeah.
Otherwise, she wouldn't legally be able to do some of those things on set.
Mm-hmm.
So.
True.
All right, guys, I think that's going to wrap us up for this evening. Of course, you can join us every Tuesday on Twitch for our live podcast. And, you know,
what are we doing next week?
Isn't it our DCEU? Isn't that what we're doing? Am I wrong?
I don't know. That's what I was asking.
You write the schedule.
I don't memorize everything.
I got it right here. Yes. Next week is our DCEU. It's our Wonder Woman episode. So for those of you who don't know, we started with Man of Steel. We diverged after BVS and did our own Justice League Dark. We've done our own Shazam, we've done a Justice League, and now we're doing a Wonder Woman movie pitch. So you can go out to that playlist that we put together out on the website if you want to watch those in order.
I need to listen to them all because you guys won't.
True. Good point.
So I'll have to listen to 5 hours of content over the next couple of weeks.
And we appreciate it, Rachel. Yes,
thank you.
And then, of course, we have too many video games to play to do that.
You can download or stream our podcast every Friday morning on all podcast outlets.
Except Spotify.
You can check our website out at heroespodcast.com for these new playlists. You can get the links for all of our episodes up there as well. You can check out all of our other shows. We currently have
four shows total.
Yeah. I was gonna say three others, I don't know. We've got many in the works that are coming down the pipeline for 2019, that out later. So many. Ryan, you can find at Buster Props on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Sure.
Do the other way around. Facebook, Instagram, then Twitter.
Yeah.
Derek, you can find at the Star Trek Dude on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And I am Siren Ray on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We also, as a collective, have a Patreon. It keeps us with updated equipment and able to bring you more shows. Donate whatever you can to support us.
Or more than you can. That's okay, too.
We won't judge.
Yeah. And we probably won't know that you're doing that, but we appreciate it.
If you like our stuff, throw a dollar here and there. It would really help us along. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah, you can. If you become a patron, you can join our exclusive patron lounge on Slack, which could desperately use some fun conversation.
We do shout-outs.
It's always popping. It's like the club. Entertainment 720 started.
But basically, you get to talk to all the hosts on the Heroes Podcast Network, and we would love to talk to you guys about that.
Absolutely.
Don't forget to follow this show on Twitter, though, at Screen Heroes Pod. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to post a little bit more. We've done a couple of polls, things like that, so please go follow us.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap us up for tonight. See you next week. Love you. Bye.